So I always start by presenting the guests. So Marika Galia, that's how you say your last name?
Galia.
So, and I always start by like trying to remember how I met that person. And so us, we met through, I mean, I don't remember specifically the specific time, but we met through the Run community. So a Run group that I had organized, and you joined in at one point. And like with any type of those activity, like we get to talking a lot and we get to know people. And then, you know, through that, I discovered that you were a musician. And I always like when I find runners or athletes or people that, you know, I share experiences with, you know, that they have a skill set that's interesting. And sometimes it's something that I can support, like through, you know, buying an album or going seeing a show or something like that. I tried to do that. And so I did that in your case.
Yeah.
Like I went to a show and, you know, and discovered, like, I knew a little bit about jazz, but I didn't know like that much about it. And I guess I still don't know that much about it. But so that's why I wanted like today's discussion to like revolve around that and around you and around like music. Yeah, so maybe we can start like by the first point that I had is just like explain to us like what's your journey as a musician.
So I am born in Toronto, and my family is not musical at all.
Oh, no?
No.
But they like music. They like human.
They like music, yeah. They're supportive.
Okay.
You know, I started to, like, beg for piano lessons when I was little. So I did some, and then, you know, you start, you're a little kid, and then you hate it. And then you move to the next thing.
So, yeah.
I sang in choirs and I, you know, played flute in school, and I was really like a school kid, really into school.
A nerd,
yeah.
Okay.
Huge nerd. And I like loved, yeah, just school, and music kind of like took me out of that. It kind of puts you into this magical space, you know. It's a cool thing to be a part of a group of like 30 or 60 people all making sound all around you, you know. And same with sports, like playing on a team. It's a similar feeling, kind of.
And those first experiences, what type of music was it? Was it like a classical music, or you did not really think about it too much, you know?
Yeah, mostly classical music, because that's like what the lessons were, you know. But I always loved like rock music, and my dad was a huge fan of rock bands, and had been to like hundreds of shows. So he started taking me to see bands when I was pretty young.
What kind of bands do you remember from that time?
He took me to see Sting, and he took me to see U2. We went to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, like big rock bands. And Coldplay, I've seen a bunch of shows, Green Day, you know. And there was like a big influence, just the energy between the crowd and the bands. It was so exciting. But like I said, I was a huge nerd, so I took music lessons the whole time, but I never thought I'd be a musician. I was really focused to do law school or medical school or something like that. But it just started to take over my life, you know, taking lessons and playing with people and learning. It was all I did outside school. So I went to the University of Toronto for a year, and then I ended up transferring to Berklee, which is a school in Boston. And it's like only music there, and not classical music. So it's pop.
So before Toronto, like you went to Toronto in music?
Yeah, in jazz.
And before that, you already played instruments? I assume you have to play instrument to get in, right?
Yeah. For sure.
So you qualified yourself as a, what type of musician?
Yeah, so my program was in jazz performance. So as a bass player, not this little bass, but mostly the big bass, double bass.
Okay, yeah, the big one.
Yeah. And practiced really hard, studied really hard, started there, but I got a better scholarship to go to the U.S., so I decided to go. And it's one of the best things I ever did because my school in Boston attracted people from all over the world. So now I have friends.
International.
Yeah, in Europe, in Asia, all over the U.S., Latin America. So it's given me this incredible network of musicians, which is really great. And so I studied composition there, so writing music and performance, again, playing music. But more jazz, pop, folk, not classical music. And then I moved to New York for a while and just played in clubs there and tried to get to know musicians and decided to come to Montreal to do grad school. So I finished a master's in music at McGill last year. And
so those are like four cool cities to be in. Yeah. Toronto, to Boston, to New York, and to Montreal.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I got here when I was 24, and I was like, whoa, I've moved around a lot. Like,
Yeah, so you mentioned, you studied jazz. So maybe we can, talk a little bit more about jazz. Here we have in Montreal, I mean, maybe not this year, but usually we have, the jazz festival here in Montreal. Yeah. And yes. There's a few jazz festival around the world. Mm-hmm. But when I remember going to the jazz festival and I walk around, if it was my first experience with the jazz music, okay?
Yeah.
And I had to go to the jazz festival and walk around for 2 hours, yeah. Around the, and then after somebody would ask me, hey, what's jazz music? I would have a lot of difficulty saying, I think there seems to be a lot of variety in it. And I guess the only way that I would describe it, from just my perspective, it is at first, it seems like very chaotic type music.
Mm.
But then more you listen to it, more you realize that there is some rules that are respected in that chaos. So yeah. There is order in that chaos, but at the beginning is very difficult, for somebody with less experience to really recognize that. So how would you define it?
Jazz is a really broad thing that's come to mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And even that word jazz is up for debate now within the community.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of people who call jazz Black American music instead of jazz. And even within there's traditional jazz, old time, modern, hip hop crossover. And I think some of the confusion with festivals comes from the way that they've opened up jazz festivals. So it's not just traditional jazz that's getting booked anymore. It's all kinds of stuff, R&B, blues. Like you said, if you walked around Place des Arts, you'd just be like, okay, but I heard 40 things. What is this music?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So for me, one of the main things that I think is integral to it is improvisation and collaboration, but on an improvised level. So in normal traditional songwriting or classical composition, you're doing a lot of preparation ahead of time, right? So, there's a songwriter, there's a lyricist, etc., all contributing to a song. And then when someone plays it, it's that song, right? The words or the melodies, whatever. And in jazz, it's a little different because a lot of the songs that we improvise on have been taken from musical theater shows from the past. So we're taking really old songs and improvising on top of them now. and that's kind of what you would call jazz standards. And then, you know, there's a whole other school that's like, that stuff's from the past. That's old news. I want to, you know, jazz means reinvention. Jazz means looking forward, you know, daring to do something new, improvising. So why would we take this old stuff as the basis of what we're doing? Why not, you know, look to other styles of music that are really popular right now? So you'll see crossover between like rappers and jazz musicians, or rappers sampling, you know, old hip hop from the 80s and 90s in jazz music, and vice versa. So jazz musicians teaming up with MCs. And so it's a really fun music, I think, because the options you have growing up are study classical music or study jazz. Those were the choices that were given to me.
Yeah.
And jazz was like, meant a lot of possibilities, you know, to
yeah.
work with people. And just the level that you have to be at on your instrument to improvise in that way is really high. Just the basic virtuosity that you need to have is really high. So I think that if you've been educated through jazz, not that classical music isn't virtuosic, it totally is, but you're also learning how to compose on the spot. So it's a different kind of learning. Then it's easier to fit into pop and folk and rock bands because you have such a broad background and training, I think.
And do you find there's like that distinction in jazz, like in the instruments as well? Like when I think about jazz, like I would think about like maybe, I don't know, the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in your definition, it is like, that is like when you think about it a little bit old school, but you think about more modern, it can be like any instrument, and even instrument that you would not think that it would be related to jazz, but just like what you do with it, that is more important than the instrument.
Yeah, I think like, for example, the saxophone has had such a prominent role in jazz music and the development of it. It's really been at the forefront, even visually, of jazz groups for so many years. So it's a strong association. But like you said, it is really the music and what you do with it. And literally any instrument could play jazz. Any at all.
So what's an instrument maybe that we would never think that you could find that in jazz, and it is now like in jazz, you know?
I think, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is like oud, like sort of in Arab music, you see a lot of like this little guitar looking thing.
Okay.
You know, or Greek, like lauto, you know, the little
okay.
guitar looking thing. And I've seen people just rip jazz on their traditional folk instruments, you know? And so that's really cool. The school I went to in the US really encouraged people to take their traditional instruments and influences and mix them with jazz. So that's pretty fun.
If somebody wants to learn about, let's say, the classic jazz,
I think to an extent people think of like traditional jazz being around like the 50s and 60s. Into was like, look at the 50s and 60s, and then from there either go backwards and learn about New Orleans and jazz through the 20s, the origins of jazz, or move forwards. So 50s and 60s, and then you get into the 70s, fusion, 80s,
yeah.
rock, you know, 90s. You know, hip hop is starting to mix in. So I think the 50s or 60s are probably the most approachable entry point. One of the first popular jazz musicians that a lot of people know is Louis Armstrong. So, you know, anything by him or his band, I think I'm nervous, so I might forget, but I think it's called the Hot Five. You know, that's a good starting point, I think, because he's sort of taking like the first improvised solos and whatnot on these old songs. So it's the beginnings of what we're looking at as jazz now. And then there's such great singers in jazz in this period, the 40s, like Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, And then moving forward, there's of course the hometown hero is Oscar Peterson, who was from Saint-Henri. So he has like a prolific career in jazz over many decades. And there's Miles Davis, who is a hard example, even though his name comes up a lot. He had such a long career. He was active, all fully putting records out 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But in terms of the 50s, I would definitely recommend his. There's a box set of Miles Davis, sort of called Workin', Cookin', Steamin', Relaxin'. It's four different albums. And that was kind of my entry point into like really swinging jazz, what we think of as what would get called at a jam session, sort of, I think.
So that's a good starting point for people that before going to the jazz festival, listen to that and it'll get you in
For
the
sure.
mood. In your education, you went like through like four cities, but I assume you traveled also like in other cities in the world and you met like musicians from all over the world. So I don't know if you could like recommend like, yeah, of course we have here in Montreal. But maybe other cities around the world that maybe we wouldn't think about that are like great cities for like jazz and maybe places that you know.
For sure. I had such a great time in Paris. I don't know if that's a surprise, but there's a really great row of jazz clubs. And I played in the jam session at Duc de Lamballe, and it's just such a great club. The staff is so great. There were so many French musicians hanging out, very welcoming. It's one of my favorite things about that music is that you can go and jam with people. And last year I also was in London, and there's a group of people putting on Airbnb experiences called Hidden Jazz Club. So it's kind of like a pop-up event in different places. So we went to one like under an abandoned railway station, very hipster, and played in this jam session, and it was really fun, really great people. In LA, there's the Blue Whale in Koreatown, which is a really, really good hang. And
That's a bar. It's a bar.
it's a bar
Blue
and
Whale.
like a jazz club, the Blue Whale, yeah,
Okay,
in
cool.
LA. That's really fun. And in San Francisco, there's a place called the Black Cat. That's also kind of got that you go downstairs, like jazzy basement kind of. I don't know. There are a lot of jazz clubs in basements.
It is because of the acoustic or more like the forbidden type of
I don't know. I think maybe the rent is cheap.
And like you were talking about like Airbnb experience and like jam sessions, maybe you can take us like through taking part in a jam session and I don't know, maybe like I don't know, 10 people show up, okay? And so you have all your instruments. So who starts? Is there like an instrument that really starts it, and then other ones go in? Are people going in and out? You know, is there
So
like a sort of like respect of don't do like a 10-minute solo or you know?
yeah, actually, there's jam session etiquette for sure. Often there will be like a host band, like a house band or a host, and those people will start it off. So they kind of break the ice, you know. They might play a set of music and then say, "Hey, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to have the jam session. So come and talk to so and so if you want to play." And often people already know each other because it's such a small community. But say like when I was visiting Paris, I didn't know anybody at that jam session, so I just went and found the guy and said, "Hey, I'm visiting from Montreal. I want to play. I play bass, na na na." And then you just wait patiently, but not too patiently, because especially in New York, if you don't go, then you're never getting up there. There's a whole line
Okay.
of people who are always ready to play and
Yeah,
who,
people want to say that they did that, you know?
yeah, so you gotta jump in there. But typically, someone will count the song off. So they'll, one, two, want to, and that gives you the tempo or the beat to call a tune is basically, do you guys all know this song? Does everyone who's on stage already know this? And if so, good. Or someone will say, hey, I don't know it. Or sometimes there's a little bit of like super testosterone energy where they won't ask if you know it or not. And they'll just start. And if you don't know it, you're just screwed, you know?
okay.
But it's not kind. It's not kind. And it's typically, like you said, look down upon if there's a bunch of horn players, so like saxophone and trumpet, whatever, and they all go one after another and they each take 10-minute solos. And then the band, like the bass player and drummer and piano player, are exhausted. You know, it's like the one song could last. That's why in jazz songs last so long. You know, one song could be like an hour.
So it's a very like collaborative effort, but I get the sense that there could be like opportunities for like competition in that, but like a friendly competition, for example, like, you know, like a rap battle, but it is like a music battle, especially if like you're in the jam session and somebody else has the same instrument as you. I assume there's like, you know, maybe.
Trumpet players are kind of famous for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we would call a cutting session, actually.
Cutting session?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's when people are really actually being very competitive and they're going in there to prove something.
And are those like in the jazz festival, are there like those type of session as well? Or like,
yeah,
like you don't see it in the program, right?
No, so at the Hyatt for a long time, there was that session because that's where all the musicians were staying. And okay. In these festivals are great for musicians because there are bands coming from all over the world. So maybe like if I'm a musician from New York and I haven't seen my friend from LA in like 2 years and they're playing the same festival, I want to hang out all night because there's people who happen to also be there. And so it's a really fun 10 days or whatever it is. I feel like I get free visits from all my friends from out of town during the festival. That's really fun.
When we talked about like this collaboration, you mentioned that you would be interested in like creating some sort of like team music for the podcast. So I don't know if you could like talk to us a little bit about that. And you know how you went about it, and maybe we can listen to what you came up.
Yeah. So I studied composition, like writing music a bit. But most of my career has been playing other people's music. That's just kind of the way it worked out. And I really like performing. But I was thinking, oh, I haven't written music in a while. And now with the situation that we're in, it's a good opportunity to get better at writing music and producing music by myself with computer sounds and whatnot. So I've just kind of been hitting people up when I see an opportunity to make music for them, to give myself little projects. And with you, you were like, you can do whatever you want, carte blanche. And I was like, okay, well, give me something, give me a start, because when it's totally open, it's like there's too many possibilities, right? So we talked and you had said like you like bachata, you like Latin vibes or like sport anthems or whatever. So I basically took that guidance in starting and I was like, I'm going to start with some drums, like some percussion sounds. And I'm not an expert in Latin music at all. But I have been really into like Afropop lately. So like West African music, which is super percussion heavy. So I checked out Fela Kuti, who's a African musician, probably one of the best known ones. I'd been listening a bunch to his stuff anyway, and I just took some drum grooves from his music and then decided to improvise my own music on top of those. So they say the best artists are the best thieves also. So I took definitely some stuff from there.
Yeah, I didn't want to like give you too much guidance because I really wanted like the inspiration to come, and I didn't want to restrict you from, you know, your creativity. And but you know, I thought about like the podcast and how I will be using that music. So that's a little bit like how I guided you. I like Latin music, and I, you know, I feel that like, for example, if I go to the gym and I play Latin music and the person is coming into the gym and he hears the Latin music, he knows that I'm coaching, but like he hasn't seen me yet, you know. So it's a, you know, so
yeah.
It's like a way of identifying myself. So so it's a, if, yeah, exactly. So if there's like a little bit like Latin beat, you know, people are gonna like, they're gonna think it's more like my podcast than somebody else.
Yeah.
And the sports anthem thing, it was like more like what I like about sports anthem is like, especially like this type of like intros as well, is like it's something that really is like catchy and gets you pumped up for what's coming next. And like a very short period, and something that you will never like get, I guess, bored of listening to.
Yeah.
So that is a little bit like how I wanted to guide you.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I know part of my job as a composer is to know, like, I have 10 seconds. Like, don't take your time. Get there right away. Get to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to it.
Okay, great. Okay.
Hey, I'm excited. I'm so, super excited.
It's short. Don't miss it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a summer vibe.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, it's very summer.
I wore my summer dress just for this.
So what instruments are there in that beat?
So, like I said, I started with copying some percussion. So it's lots of, there's no drum set. It's just hand instrument. So there's wood block. There's congo. There's three congos, high, medium, low. There's a go-go bell, high and low. There's maraca, like shaker. And that's all the percussion. And then I played this bass on it. That's the only thing that I played live. And then I have some vibraphone sounds. So like a metal xylophone, kind of. And kalimba is an African instrument that sort of has that shimmery metallic sound. So I tried to kind of stay in the West African instruments a little bit, and I have harp. I have a little bit of harp and guitar doubling. So the problem with me writing music, I have too many ideas. So I'll write like 12 instruments and then go to sleep and wake up in the morning and be like, there's way too much stuff. I'd start to take things away, you know. But
so now you mentioned eight like different sources, but there were more than that initially.
Yeah, I took some out.
That's cool. Yeah, I like it. I like it. You know what I want like about this project? Now it is like discussion and podcast, but I see it more like creating collaborations. That is what like I see it like, and I really like your contribution, and maybe later on there will be like somebody else that will contribute like through art.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll update you know, the logo through art, and maybe there will be like other types of contributions. And that is like how I want to like, you know, push this project forward.
Community is really important. And like, that's how I met you. I remember when I met you because it was the yoga day in
okay, yeah, yeah.
Lululemon, and I remember there was a reporter there, and it was my first day, so I was like, yeah, I do yoga all the time. But I remember you because I have a really sweet, like, close friend named Raulito also, who taught me how to surf. So I had, like, a positive association with this name.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think, you know, through that community, there were different people that I would see on the runs. And for me, it was a really healthy escape from my whole life is music, right? Like, all the time. Grad school, work, my friends. And it felt like I was talking to other people about other stuff. It was so nice. So yeah, it's nice to bring what I have to the community, you know, because I feel the community gave me something already.
So, hey, we're already at the end. It's Whoa. Fast, huh?
Yeah.
Super fast. Crazy. But, you know, we've been talking about for 40 minutes already. So, yeah. But it's always like that. And so at the end is we call it, or I call it, the inspire me moment.
Okay.
So it's basically like you have 2 minutes, around 2 minutes, you know, uh-huh. And you can say anything that you want, and pretend that you just finished a show, you know, in the city that you want, you know. which city did you prefer, like, that you really like doing a show, aside from Montreal? Paris. Mm. Yeah. And where are you exactly in Paris?
Duc de Lamballe, that club I told you about.
Yeah. Is it like an underground thing?
That one's not, no, but it's beautiful.
And how many people are there, like, usually in those concerts?
Not like crazy, maybe like 40 people.
Okay, 40. Awesome. So imagine yourself that you're there and you just finished your set and you're going to take a break, but you don't want to, you just want to, you know, thank people for being there and maybe say something a little bit extra. And that extra thing is like the way that you want to inspire them. And it can be like, can be anything. A lot of the times, and especially now with this project, I think a lot about that, like how people inspire other people. Mm-hmm. And it is through a lot of different ways. And depending, like, you know, sometimes it might be just, you know, some people are like super inspired by just one quote. A quote is what? 5 to 10 words. Hey, 5 to 10 words, like, you know, it's very powerful. And other times it can be a song, it can be a beat, and other times it can be like just a useful tip that a person really uses and it totally changes like their life, you know?
I think in general, in the past few months and in this situation that we're all in now, I've been working a lot myself on listening to myself, listening to my gut. And I think a lot of performers, a lot of athletes, like to use affirmations or visualizations, you know? So I thought I would share like one of my affirmations that I use. And it's really simple. It's just, I can make positive changes in my life through thoughtful action, you know? I can take positive steps towards my dreams today. And I feel that grounds me in these big, big cloudy times that we're in, but also when you have a big dream and it's not super clear how to get to the next thing, just like I can be effective today. If I'm thoughtful and I'm true to myself, I can take a step today, and all I have to do tomorrow is take a step tomorrow and the next day. And, you know, then you have a life. Then you have a life doing something crazy like playing bass. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I think music is a crazy career path, and you're your own boss on top of everything. And you don't really know where you're going. So it's kind of the only way to ground yourself is through action, you know? You talked about discipline being inspiring, or someone's skill set or whatever. I'm really inspired by people who have the discipline to just keep going all the time. Those are my favorite artists, my favorite speakers, you know. I think that discipline's a really important thing, especially when the ground is sort of moving under you.
Do you have a few examples of that? Like maybe it can be people that famous or that only you know, and it can be a shout out to somebody. Maybe there's a musician out there that has inspired you and that you know, and they don't even know that they inspired you.
Yeah, it's another album people can check out. This one is more sort of like R&B, hip hop, jazz, but there's this musician named Marcus Strickland, and I was able to spend like a few hours with him a few months ago in New York while I was visiting, and we had such an inspiring talk. That talk has kept me inspired for months and months, honestly. And he actually told me something that I wrote on a piece of paper and I put it on my music stand. So when I go to work on my stuff, I see this thing. I have it here, like, and it says, "Be fearless. You have everything you need. Nothing can truly derail you from what's for you." You know, and it's just this thought that, like, you know, not like be lazy, but what's meant for you will happen for you if you keep working all the time. And so don't worry about like the situation we're in now, all the artists I know are out of work suddenly. Don't worry, because it doesn't change that you're a great artist. You'll always be a great artist as long as you keep being a great artist, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is there anything that you want to say to close off the session? Things that you have, like maybe coming up later on?
Yeah, so I actually put an album online about a month ago, called Nuance, and it's my first album that's out. It's available on Bandcamp, or in my Instagram, marikagallio.com. There's a link to either stream it or buy it, and it's all music that I wrote. It was recorded in Montreal, at the Arcade Fire Studio. And with friends and musicians all from Montreal, so it's a local talent, and that's newly available. And then otherwise, like, I'm just writing music for various projects like this one, and trying to improve my skills in that way. So that's where my focus is now, is learning on, you know, writing and producing music. So I'm really open to other creators, other people who are starting podcasts, or I did something for an animator last week who are doing different things. I'm super open to collaboration right now.
Well, thank you very much, Marika, and talk to you soon.
Bye, thank you.
Bye.